This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 396. Wait, we just said it was 95.
Just 92, and one. In fact, you asked me if it was 94 or 95. I said 95, and you jumped to 96.
I did.
Woof.
Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 395 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
And we're both using the old Blue Yeti microphones tonight. If we sound a little different, it's my first time busting one out. John's had one on and off for quite a while now.
But it seems like my headset was dying, my wireless one, so decided to switch over to this.
Again, the only downside I see to this is that I am now wired and not wireless.
Yes.
So I have to get up to go get a beverage, because that will happen.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will certainly happen, and you are stuck. God, sorry. As we're talking, I'm scrolling back up through trying to find, because it's been a while since we've recorded. And
We haven't recorded since, because I had to work the last two Mondays unexpectedly on one. We haven't recorded since the 8th.
Yeah.
Of July. It is now the 29th of July.
Okay, so I found us on July 9th. Whew.
Okay, July 9th. We recorded on a Tuesday even.
No, we recorded July 8th, but The next thing that we sent was on July 9th. So for those who don't know, we send each other like news stories and trailers through Messenger and then use that as like our basis when we come to the news and trailers part.
And also a heads up, we both saw Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm assuming you went because your wife told me that you went and saw it.
Yes. No, she's a liar.
So the end of this episode is going to be spoilerific.
Oh, heavy spoilers.
Like horrifically spoilerish.
Spoiltastic.
Yeah. Yep.
But that'll be later.
Yeah. That'll be the end of the episode. We have quite a bit to talk about between now and then.
We do. Why don't we jump in? What did you watch over the past 3 weeks?
Well, surprisingly, I have a few TV shows and several movies to talk about.
I actually have 5 movies to talk about. So
I have
that's a lot for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14. I got 14.
Your son's clapping along, I hear.
Yeah, the microphone apparently picks up Wesley in the other room clapping his hands. So. Yeah. Anywho, so TV show wise, not a ton, really. Do we have to talk about the Acolyte and the Boys finale?
Yes, episodes 7 and 8 we have to talk about. Jeez. If you can remember them.
I'll have to look up the information. I guess TV show-wise, Kate and I have been watching Cold Case. I think we just watched episode 18 on season 6. So we have about a few more episodes this season. And then I think the last season's only 18 episodes. It's just something we genuinely enjoy. The other thing we're watching is Deadliest Catch. They've had 6 episodes a season. Episodes going real rapidly. It's funny watching the same things happen over and over again. As far as like this crabber is over in this area. He's hit some crab. He's catching real goods. Someone calls him up and goes, "Hey, we're not having much luck. How's it looking over where you are? And then he's hesitant to tell him where he is or how he's doing. And then he finally is like, oh, I'm doing all right. Why don't you come over here and fish in this area? Leave this area for me. And you guys fish that area, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they undoubtedly like break the barter they just made. It's like every episode, one captain's doing that to another captain. And then they're screaming and swearing at each other. And then a while later, they're like, well, just stop doing that shit. Like, it just, it literally never ends. Okay. Never ends on that side of thing. But it's still interesting and fun, and we enjoy it thoroughly.
Thanks.
The only other thing we've been watching a lot together is Classic Unsolved Mysteries on Peacock. And what's fun is that if there's an update, they've gone back and updated it. Like, they'll play the update music, and they'll just put words on the screen. They don't have any like, oh, in 2013, we discovered this. You know what I mean? For episodes from like the late 80s and, you know, 1990 or whatever.
Still nice they have it.
Yeah. So they are actively updating it. And the website of unsolved.com is still active for people to call in tips on things that have been updated. But there's some episodes where every single segment's got an update because it's been solved or resolved or, you know, they discovered whatever. What's unsatisfying, though, is like, for instance, season one, episode 18, they have a murder of a young lady up in Millinocket. And that I think that homicide was solved in like 2016 or something like that. And that happened, the murder happened like 1980. And all it says is like, in 2016, DNA evidence proved this, or this person was arrested and charged with the murder. But they don't expand on it or say like how they knew each other or what happened. They just say, oh yeah, they found the murderer. Google that shit, basically.
Or wait for the Dateline to come out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go watch the Dateline special on it. But, yeah, it's still interesting how, like, when I was a kid, I remember watching the show. Like, to me, what stands out the most and what I remember the most is the alien stories, the Bigfoot stories, the murders, the abductions. But they do a lot of lost loves. Like, people separated it. You know, kids separated when they were kids, or like parental separations or whatever it is like that. Like, they do a lot of lost love people more so than I ever remember. And actually the UFO stories seem to be less than I remember, but those really? Just stood out so prominently to me. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cause that's what you were interested in as a kid. You didn't care about the lost loves.
Right. What you got going on?
So this season of Love Island has finished. It was wholly unsatisfying. I'm sure that we'll end up watching the next season, but there was a lot to hate about this season. And and it really ended like the people that got voted for as the number one couple were not who I would have picked, but I absolutely understand why they were picked. And it's because the people that watch this show primarily are trashy. And so they went with the relatable couple, we'll say.
So they went with the white trash couple.
No, they went with the trashy couple that he basically cheated on her and then felt really bad about it. She told him to go to hell and said she'd never be with him again. And then he won her back over and she got back together with him and was like, I can't help it. I love this man. And yeah. Let's see what else. We're finished with season two of iZombie and we're a couple episodes into season three, still absolutely loving it. It's a little harder to binge these because they're, you know, a typical 42 minute episode. So, you know, you get one in and then you get to kind of pause and be like, okay, are we ready to go on to the next one? Or do we switch it up and do something else? Person of Interest, we're still going. Gargoyles, we're still going. iZombie, though, I will say, is just as good this time through. It is a great show. It's very tongue-in-cheek. Rob Thomas, the lead singer of Matchbox 20, he had a big part in getting this graphic novel adapted, kind of like how Seth Rogen has been getting The Boys and Preacher adapted to TV audiences. Rob Thomas was instrumental in getting iZombie on there. He did the theme song, and at the end of season two, he comes to play a party at Max Rager and he ends up dying and getting eaten. And they talk about that many times and talk about how tragic it is that Rob Thomas is left. And, you know, they talk about how Carlos Santana called into the radio station and said, heaven just got a little smoother. And then they play smooth with Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana and, you know, fun stuff like that. Great show. Really like it. And we started over these past couple of weeks, we started up Big Mouth, which I've seen like the first three seasons. Julia hasn't seen any. We're up to like episode four of season two, and it is a fucking great show. It is so atrocious at times, so over the top. The writing is great. The characters are great. There are times when Julia is just absolutely cringed out. She's just like, I can't do this. This is like, especially the parts where we're talking about Jay fucking a pillow and having like these entire conversations with his pillow about getting an abortion and, you know, carrying a pillow baby to term. And it's so over the top, ridiculous, but it's a great show. It really is. So looking forward to catching up to where I stopped and then watching, I guess there's seven seasons. Holy I only shit. Saw like the first three. Yeah. I think as far as shows go, that's all except for The Acolyte and The Boys.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of TV shows right now. And for all intents and purposes, we're not, I think after this, I don't think we're going to have any.
No, unless we pick up some new ones.
Yeah. I have watched based on a recommendation from my buddy Brandon, I decided to finally try to watch Evil, the Supernatural TV series that started on CBS and then moved to Paramount Plus.
I remember when it first came on TV, I watched like the first two or three episodes and I just couldn't pull myself into it. But I keep seeing all these things saying how great it is and how wonderful it is. And
he said, you got to get past episode three and then it gets better. Right. So it's funny that you say that. But yeah, they say you got to get past episode three and then it gets better. And so I've watched the first two episodes.
It's a hard watch.
It wasn't bad by any means, but it also like nothing makes me want to keep watching them. Because I remember watching, this is the third time I've watched the first episode, quite frankly, since 2019 when it debuted. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't even get past the first episode previously. And the second episode, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't good. I'm going to watch the third episode at some point here. So I can get to the fourth. And then he says, once it switches from CBS to Paramount Plus, it becomes a bit more risque and uncensored because it's on Paramount Plus.
I was hoping. Yeah, I remember I was in the same boat. In fact, I think you and I both started watching it at the same time. We were like, this wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And I stuck it out longer than you did. But yeah, I got to the third episode and I'm like, why am I bothering?
Yeah, there was a huge gap between seasons one and then season two. Season one aired from September 2019 to January 2020. Then we have that huge gap because of COVID, but also it moved to Paramount Plus after that and came back in June of 2021 on Paramount Plus. And right now we're in the midst of the fourth season, which finishes up August 22nd of this year. And that's probably why we're all seeing such a bum rush for it, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to like it because of Michael Emerson alone. I love Michael Emerson.
Yes. And it's almost like X-Files-ish as far as each week they're trying to figure out a new mystery, if you will.
But it all has a religious bent, right?
Well, yeah, because it's a forensic psychologist who's the skeptic. Play Dr. Kristen Bouchard, and then it's a Catholic seminary guy, David Acosta, or you know, Michael Coulter, who's trying to become a nun. So he's not a nun yet. And then there's his skeptical technical guy named Ben, so it's the trio of them. So you kind of have two skeptics and one true believer. And Michael Emerson plays a character in it who is very hateable. So he's real good at that.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, so the three of these three people, you have one who is very technical savvy. So like if there's like some video evidence or like, oh, that sound you heard. Well, that's the you had a dirty hose in your dishwasher. See, when I replicate it, it makes the same exact noise that you heard and recorded. Like he's the guy that can take anything apart, put it together and figure out, oh, this is what you actually heard. You know, this dishwasher, this, there's that. And then you have the forensic psychologist who is also a skeptic. But she's a skeptic from the other point of view. And then you have the true believer and the seminary student, the guy trying to become a pastor who is a believer, but he doesn't like force his beliefs. Like he doesn't say like, oh, come on. He's not Mulder-ish. Like Mulder tried to talk you into believing what he believed.
Yes.
Whereas this guy just gives you the facts. If you want to believe it, believe it. If you don't, don't. And also he's not there looking for what's not there. That's the other thing I've noticed with this character. Like he's not seeing an unknown image on a film and being like, oh, that's an angel. That's an angel. And then trying to prove that's an angel. No, he wants to prove that none of this is accurate. Essentially, like the Catholic Church has like 30,000 backlog reported miracles. And his job is to go debunk the miracles or see if maybe it's a real miracle.
Yes.
So even the true believers kind of going in there with a mission of like, most likely this isn't real.
Yeah, the Catholic Church does spend a lot of time trying to debunk miracles because they want legitimacy to the ones that are out there. So that is realistic. Right.
So, yeah. So the first two episodes, you know, maybe I'm in the right frame of mind, but I struggled less to get through the first one. Maybe it's because I've watched it three times. the second episode, it was only 42 minutes. It was a long fucking 42 minutes. Sorry. A long 42 minutes. But yeah, ultimately, I'll get through the third episode and hopefully Brandon's right. And it just you power through after that because it's like, oh, no, this is awesome.
Like I said, I've been thinking about getting back into it, but I've been struggling to, you know, convince myself or convince Julia because I can't sit there and be like, oh, yeah, it's a really good show. All I can say is a lot of people seem to like it, but, you know, a lot of people liked Joker and I really hated that. So.
Yeah, you know, with Joker, there was some good elements in it, or it's like, oh, okay, this is how they made the character loved by people. That kind of, okay. But yeah, overall, it wasn't good at all.
No. No. So that's what I worry about is it's another one of those where so many people said, oh, I like this. But yeah. Hopefully that doesn't turn out to be the case this time.
I kind of don't feel bad about spoilers on The Boys because the last episode aired 11 days ago.
Yeah.
So
same thing with The Acolyte.
Yeah, same thing. So where are we at? We want to talk about episodes 7 and 8 on The Boys.
Yes. Same thing with The Acolyte.
So Butcher gets Frenchie out of jail to help make the virus.
Very unceremoniously, too.
Like, yeah, he's just like Frenchie, shows like, up
putting himself in there. And refusing to see Kimiko, and then he's just suddenly back out. He's like, oh, I pulled a few strings, mate.
So the majority of this episode is him trying to help Samir make this virus to kill a Homelander, or all of them, or whatever. And ultimately, at the end, and it's not until almost the end of the episode, Kimiko with the virus, so he can escape. And because Frenchie, of course, and Kimoko have let their guard down because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So Frenchie sawed her leg off, you know, so the virus didn't spread and kill her. So they still have the virus. It's just in her sawed off leg, which grew back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. What else is going on in this one? Oh, yeah. Mother's Milk makes Butcher the leader of the boys again because he passed out in the previous episode. And yeah.
Because he basically had a panic attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Huey is having a lot of happy sex with Starlight, but it's not really Starlight because, saw that coming a mile away. As soon as she was acting nice and excitable with him.
the majority of that sex is in episode 8. They just have sex at the end of episode 7 with her in her costume. Right. And he has this like, oh my God, look on his face.
She's wearing the costume. And I'm just like, wait a minute. We were just introduced to a shape changer. And now we've got a version of Starlight who's like, ooh, look at me in my costume. After she said how much she didn't want it.
Homelander kills Webweaver because he thinks he's the leak. That's a normal Homelander thing to do, just overreact.
Well, that's because he fired Sage, and then Firecracker was like, I found the leak, because Webweaver knew some stuff, and he had been leaking stuff to Huey and the others.
Well, Webweaver's the one that they drugged him up, and Huey wore his costume.
Mm-hmm. But he's been a the reason that they got in to see him was because he's been a CI for Butcher for a while.
Yeah. Then Homelander finds out that A-Train was the leak. Sage knew about it and didn't tell him. And A-Train has fled the country with his family. And so that's when Homeland fires Sage because, I can't trust you. And Sage is like, whatever. Of course, we find out in episode 8, like, this was all part of her plan. She's like, my plan was to... I knew A-Train was the leak. I fed him what I needed him to know. All you had to do was listen to me. That was our deal. You had to listen to me. And I knew you wouldn't. And I planned for that. And I planned that you fire me. I planned that you fuck this all up. You know, like, but here's how we're going to save things. And he's like, why are you doing this? To prove I can.
Yeah. Basically, it's a challenge for her. And she's like, I love this. I'll see you next time.
She doesn't care about the presidency. She literally doesn't care about anything other than proving she can accomplish this goal, proving she's the smartest one in the room.
Right.
And is multiple steps ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
We could just blend them together. I mean,
Deep and Black Noir go to try to kill the boys.
A pretty good job too.
Well, yeah, but then Annie and A-Train help save them. Mm-hmm. That's how A-Train gets exposed. In the final episode, Butcher, Mallory is passed out. Mallory's rescued Butcher, and Huey had gone to talk to Newman to convince her. Let's just stop. Let's not do this anymore. Let's just work together. Because
it almost worked.
Well, it did. But then Homelander's basically like, we're gonna kill the president. He's the president now, so we're gonna kill him. You're gonna get sworn in as the president, seeing how you're the vice president, and on and on and on. And this is what's gonna happen. And you're gonna do what I tell you to do. And basically Newman's like, no, I'm not, this is not what I've worked for. I've not worked to be your puppet, your pawn. So she wants out. And that's when her and Huey make this plan to help her get out.
Well, don't forget, Homelander also outed her on national television.
Oh, that's right. Outed her as a soup. Yes.
And then he lasered her. And there was some conjecture online. People were like, oh, she tried to pop his head because her eyes were white and it didn't work. I don't think that's the case. No. I think her eyes went white because she was defending herself.
Yes.
Thinking herself invincible.
I don't think she did anything. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Then she called Huey and he was like, yeah, we need to end this.
Yeah.
And so Huey talks to the boys about bringing in Newman and her daughter.
Yep. And because that was the thing, is Homelander said that basically he would kill her daughter and he would make life miserable for her. And you belong to me.
Ryan, pissed off at the manipulation of Vought and her and his dad, you know, interrupts the live TV show, gives a speech about how parents are good and whatever, and walks off. Then he's there. Mallory brings Ryan in to talk to Butcher. And they're basically trying to say, like, look, you need to kill Homelander. You're the only one.
Yeah.
And Ryan's like, nope. And then accidentally kills Mallory.
And they have a nice heartfelt connection.
Oh, yes. Match. Yes, exactly. But he accidentally kills Mallory and leaves. And that's when Butcher talks to, because he's still arguing with Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is why we saved this kid and this and that and everything. And after the kid kills Mallory, Kessler, because if you notice at the end, when Butcher shows up at the compound with the boys, he doesn't have gray in his beard. he looks younger, he's not sick, and he's got his tentacle powers back.
So essentially, Kessler isn't even a hallucination at this point. Kessler is the tumor, the parasite that's inside.
Yes, yes, exactly. And he's given control of this parasite, Butcher yep. has, of his body to this parasite. Because, you know, Huey and the boys and Newman, they all have this plan. This is what they're going to do. But instead, Butcher shows up and kills Newman.
Rips her right in half, which
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't pop his head or anything.
Yeah, it's like he muckled onto her so quickly, she didn't have time. Now, did he kill her daughter or did he just knock her out or something?
I think he just knocked her out.
Because I couldn't tell because her character is not seen at all again after this.
Right. But she was also minimally on screen, except for that one time that she right. like fully souped out and
right.
ate chemicals are.
Oh, that's the other thing. Sage released, I don't know if it's video footage or audio footage of Singer telling, conspiring with the boys to kill Newman. So he's arrested. Yep. The Speaker of the House becomes the new president, but wants to talk to Homelander first. Like, you know, hey, I'm on your side. Don't kill me.
Which was the plan all along, apparently.
Yeah, for Newman. But now it's Calhoun. So they declare martial law. Homelander deputizes superhumans. And then the boys all try to run, but they're all captured, except for Butcher, who's driving off of the virus.
Well, and Starlight gets away because she flies.
That's right. She flies away. But Kimiko talks. That's the other big thing.
Yep.
When Frenchie's taken away. Miko manages to say some words.
Yeah, and Sam holds her down. Like, Sam overpowers her, which was pretty impressive because she's really strong as it is.
But Huey and Kimiko and Frenchie are all taken away, and Starlight gets away, and Butcher's driving off into the sunset with the
virus.
The virus leg. Couldn't think of the word virus. Mm-hmm. Did you see the mid-credit scene?
I did. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, yes. With the
Soldier Boy. Yeah, he's alive and well. Well, he's alive. He's in cryogenesis.
Yep.
Calhoun's like, I just found out an hour ago. That's why you're finding out. You know, you're the first person I called.
Yep. So basically, the president had kept secrets. And then as soon as he became the president, it became well, you need to know this.
So Soldier Boy's still alive.
Yeah. Speaking of, just jumping ahead a little bit, they had San Diego Comic-Con started this past weekend, and we got a lot of news. And
I think it's appropriate to group it all together.
Yeah. One piece of that is it was so funny watching Jensen Ackles sit on stage and read this prepared statement. He's like, I don't even know what I'm reading. And he's like, there's going to be a new spinoff of The Boys, and it's going to take place in the 1950s. It's going to be called Vought Rising. I'll be reprising my role as Soldier Boy. Cool. Awesome. He's like, he literally started off by saying, I have no idea what I'm reading. And it's also going to have Aya Cash as Stormfront. And this is going to be the early days of Vought. It's going to be sinister. It'll be a murder mystery. Down.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah. What else? It was nice to end the season. I feel like five seasons is going to be good. They ended this on a very negative note. Like, this was definitely a dark, everybody's captured.
Well, it's almost like a, Avengers. Not Endgame. What was the one before it?
Oh, Infinity War?
Infinity War, where it all ended like on a downer.
Yep.
Because we got it. And if they had not announced, not the cream soda, please. If they had not announced that we're getting another fifth and final season, I would have been pissed at this.
Yes.
Because it's like, man, if we don't get another season, this is how it's ending. I'm not going to be pleased with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're getting another one. And I'm sure that over the coming year or so, we're going to get, you know, announcements of this new hero, this new villain. These will all be joining. I did see something where they said that Starlight's powers are evolving. So now instead of just absorbing ambient electricity, she can absorb it from any light source, including the sun. So I think she's going to be able to go toe to toe with Homelander before you know it.
Well, I think we're going to get our next season of Gen V before we get the boys. And are we now going to get...
The Deep will be in that. He's going to premiere in there a couple of times. He's going to show up in there a few times. But yeah, we'll get the next season of Gen V. Then we'll get the last season of The Boys. And then I think after that is when we get Vault Rising. They haven't said how many seasons we're going to get of Gen V, but three is likely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they're wrapping The Boys up, it would make sense to kind of wrap up everything else.
Yeah.
So, like...
But they're already adding on.
Even.
Yeah, but they're already adding on with Vault Rising. I mean, I wouldn't
be surprised. Yeah, but that's a prequel. And whereas Gen V and The Boys are kind of intermeshed.
True. Yep. The Acolyte. I found out something interesting when I was doing a little IMDb scrubbing. Did you realize that Jekti, the one that you like so much, that's played by Daphne Keene? Who is X-23.
Oh, no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I can see it now.
Yep. Yep. The attitude, the prowess in fighting, same kind of like almost feral aggression.
Yeah. So episode 7 is called The Choice. It's the flashback episode from when we actually see what went down.
Mm-hmm.
Like what actually happened. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but Sol killed their mother. He chose
Osha. By the way, I called this. May.
Oh, yeah.
I called it that it was going to be a whole other flashback episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. Yeah, I don't know. All it seems to be is that May is the Acolyte. Osha is the Acolyte. Mm-hmm. She has taken over May's role with, is it Khmer? Is that what his name is? I think so.
Yep.
Because like they figured out pretty quickly that they switched. And so Khmer blanks May's memory. So she doesn't know she's a twin, doesn't know who Osha is, doesn't know what happens. Saul's dead.
Yeah.
Like, May and like Osha are cloned.
Force choked him to death.
Yeah. Yeah. She killed him. And they're clones.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same person. They're clones, essentially.
Literally the same person. Yeah. Yeah. Like, because that's what he was saying. He was looking at the midichlorians and he's like, no, even if they were twins, they would have different, but this is the exact same. So, yeah, they cloned.
I will say this. It was kind of badass watching Sol's lightsaber turn from blue to red because Khmer's lightsaber, turned from blue to red. No, it was Sol's lightsaber.
That's right.
Osha has Sol's lightsaber. Because she corrupted the kyber crystals in it. And so...
Which since then, they've gone back and changed Revenge of the Sith and the scene where Anakin, I saw a clip of this the other day, the scene where Anakin finds the younglings and they're like, you know, you're going to keep us safe? And he extends his blue lightsaber. They extend that on now and it does the same thing and goes down to red and then he has a red glow about his face. So apparently
I just Googled Anakin lightsaber and it came up episode 2. Was it episode 2? No, that wasn't episode 2.
No, it was episode 3.
Yeah. No.
So if that is the case, you know, like I said, I saw it on TikTok, but it could have just been some creative editing by somebody. But if they did that, it would make sense because they've retconned stuff like this all the time.
They certainly has.
What else happened?
I'm seeing some continuity here where it says lightsabers don't automatically turn red when one turns to the dark side. Anakin never bled his kyber crystal in the prequels, explaining why his saber stayed blue.
Ah.
Anakin's lightsaber needed to stay blue for continuity, whereas she bled her kyber crystals, so that would make sense why it happened. And then I'm assuming he just gets a new lightsaber, and it's red now. Although it does say in here, after he became Darth Vader, he continues to use the same lightsaber. However, after being reconstructed into a cyborg, Vader replaces it with another lightsaber and bleeds its kyber crystal from green to red, the color associated with the Sith.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? But still, that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you see the post scene we have with Vernestra talking to, I'm assuming it's Yoda?
Yes, you know it had to be Yoda. I mean, it could have been Yaddle, but I'm 99% sure.
Yeah.
Also, did you catch the blink and you'll miss it, like when they're leaving the planet? You've got like that scene there where it looks back into the cave-ish thing. And you see a clawed hand reaching out and this wrinkled old face. It's Darth Plagueis.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I remember that.
Yep.
Are we getting a second season of this?
Yes. Yes, we are.
So they have announced officially we're getting a second season.
I believe that they have. Now that you say that, I'm like, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure that.
Disney Plus has not renewed the Acolyte for a second season. However, series showrunner Leslie Headland said there have been conversations about the King Show past season one.
I can't imagine that they're not going to have.
Yeah. So. Anyhow, movies?
Yeah, I guess movies.
So I'll just say this real quick. I watched the Fear Street trilogy. I think it's a great trilogy of movies. I think they did a fantastic job blending a 1990s horror movie, a 1980s slasher horror movie that actually takes place in the 1970s, and then kind of tying it all together with the 1600s witch trial thing, and then bringing it to the future. And I don't know, they just did a great job intertwining the three movies together. It's a fun rewatch.
I've rewatched it, but I really enjoyed that series as well.
Yeah, through Sloppy Seconds, that's the name of the website. I bought some ripped Blu-rays of the three movies. It's a three Blu-ray set. I think I paid $20 for it. Just in case Netflix ever pulled it. I love the part two a lot, but all three of them are just kind of so good together. I wanted to make sure I had copies of them. Yeah. Sloppy Seconds is a place where you can go buy Dogma on DVD, seeing how Weinstein had the rights all tied up. But I just read the other day, allegedly Paramount now owns the rights to Dogma. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I haven't seen I've only seen a couple tweets about it. I haven't seen like Kevin Smith say anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that he would have been one of the first ones to be like, guess what?
Yeah. Yeah. So, my cousin Johnny and cousin-in-law Jason came over. We watched a couple movies on Saturday night. They had not seen In a Violent Nature yet, so we watched In a Violent Nature. I think it's fantastic. I still love it. It's been renewed, not renewed. They announced a sequel. We got tying in that San Diego Comic-Con news that's coming out, or just news in general. But an official sequel has been announced for the movie, so I'm happy with that. The same writers and is credited as writing. I'm assuming he's going to direct it again like he did last time. Granted, that's not set in stone or any means, but just a great movie, just a fun movie. And I watched Kate and I, a couple weeks back, we went and stayed the night in New Hampshire before I picked up Wesley, brought the old Roku with us to the hotel room because hotel TV sucks. We couldn't find any movie we wanted to watch on the hotel TV, so I turned it on. We ended up watching Identity. Do you remember that?
Oh, John, my God.
Yeah. That movie came out like 20 years ago.
That had a good twist about midway through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did. But that's 10 people stranded at a hotel. They start getting killed one by one. It's a stormy night. Yeah, John Cusack. The cast is actually like a holy shit type of cast.
Yes.
Let's see here. Yeah, 2003 film. John Cusack, Ray Liotta, Amanda Peet, John Hawks, Alfred Molina, Clay Duvall, John C. McGinley, William Lee Scott, Jake Busey, Rebecca De Mornay. I mean, it's a holy fuck cast, really.
Yeah, I like it. I remember watching that movie, and like I said, about midway through, you get the full idea of the twist, and
yeah,
it's cool.
It's unique. I feel like we saw this at the theaters, probably. It seems like something we would have gone to see. I can't remember 100%.
I can't either, but sounds about right.
I mean, it's got John Cusack in it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Let's see. So Johnny had never seen this. My kids haven't seen it. I got to watch it with them, but we watched The Frighteners.
Oh, love that one.
The movie is phenomenal. Michael J. Fox, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's many years before, but he's not officially told anybody about it. You can kind of see elements of it in the movie. But the story is just so friggin' fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to talk about it. Go watch it. That is a hard sell. That will always be a hard sell for me.
Yep. Back when I was working at the video store, that was my go-to hard sell for everybody. Like, people would come in. I was like, do you want comedy? Do you want horror? Do you want something with feeling? This has all of them. And it became even easier to sell it when the Lord of the Rings movies came out, because I was like, this is Peter Jackson before he did.
Yeah, this is Peter Jackson's first big budget movie that he did. The non-low budget movie.
Yeah,
Michael J. Fox is in it. I think it might be Jake Busey's debut role, but he's young. Jake Busey's in it. Yep. It's a serial killer ghost story. I mean, it's really well done.
It really is. It's such a good one. That's one of my top movies of all time.
Another movie that it's a rewatch, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I kind of just threw it on, kind of half watched it. It's a solid flick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I watched it the first time it was on Netflix a few years ago, Shimmer Lake. It's got Rainn Wilson in it. It's a small town bank heist movie, but it's told in reverse order. So we see the end of the movie, and then we see a section that's the end of the movie, and then we see a section that happened right before that, and a section right before that, and all the way to the beginning of the movie. It's very, 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 very well done. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Came out in 2017. I would give this a hard sell as far as a great, like, psychological, like, heist movie that's got such a cool twist of being told in reverse order. What'd you watch for movies? I got a few more to talk about, but what'd you watch?
Hold on. What was the name of that one?
Shimmer Lake. Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's well worth your time.
We were just looking the other day. We were talking about how we wanted to watch a good suspenseful or mind-twisting kind of movie.
Oh, that'll be it right there. Like, sincerely.
Cool. So because of credits that I had and a sale that was going on, I managed to rent Abigail for 99 cents from Amazon.
It's on Peacock for free now.
Now it is. Yep.
It's funny how that works out, but still 99 cents. It's worth 99 cents.
Yep. We were going to go to the theater and do like a, you know, watch that one. And then there was something else that was playing at the same time that we wanted to watch as well. And about half to three quarters of the way through the movie, Julia said, glad we didn't go to the theater for this one. And I said, yeah, me too. It is not a bad movie, but it is definitely not anything that I will need to watch again. And it wasn't really. Here's the thing. I think Abigail would have been a better movie if they hadn't promoted the hell out of it ahead of time, because you get to about the halfway point in the movie and they're trying to make it seem like it's a mystery. Who's killing these people? Oh, maybe dad's here. You know, dad showed up and his guys are here and they're killing all these people. When if you've seen any promos whatsoever, you know that it's the little girl doing it. Like, yeah. there's no, if you've seen a trailer, if you've seen a promo, if you've seen the box art, you know that the little girl is killing these people.
Yes, yes. Well, they tell you in the, I mean, it's right in the trailer. They tell you that it's there. Yeah.
So the fact that the movie goes up until at least the halfway point trying to have this big mystery of, oh, how are these people dying? Oh, what's happening? Oh, who's in the house that's killing them? It's kind of stupid. It's, we all know. We already know what's going on. So why are you trying to make it out that way? So that kind of diminished it for me. Otherwise, it was a decent action movie. Some of the stuff was fun, although the vampire powers were a little weird and her constant need to dance was a little bit odd. But it wasn't bad. I didn't come out of it like, fuck, I never should have watched that.
Well, so, and here's the thing that kind of bothers me about it is that it's not a, yes, she's a little girl in appearance, but to 300, 400 years old or whatever.
Yes.
So like it wouldn't act that way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Why is she still acting like a child? Yeah. You're hundreds of years old.
What else you got?
So these may be duplicates for you, but these were all reruns for me. Leading up to Deadpool and Wolverine, we watched Deadpool 1, which Julia and I had both seen. Still a great movie. Deadpool 2, which she hadn't seen. And so I had a lot of fun with that one, going through the fun facts and being like, oh, you know, nobody ever told anybody else, but the voice of Juggernaut was Ryan Reynolds. Like, he did that, didn't tell anybody. Stuff like that. That's a great watch. It was a lot of fun. And then we watched Logan because in the opening part of Deadpool 2, he has that little music box wind up of Logan impaled on the stick and talks about how, you know, Wolverine had to go and one up him. And so I was like, you know, we should probably watch that just so that we're all caught up. And I'm glad that we did, because it really heavily played into immediately the opening parts of Deadpool and Wolverine, which we'll get to. But so Deadpool, Deadpool 2, Logan, all three of them. And I still am not a huge fan of Logan. It's not a bad movie per se, but it was so bleak. They had almost no mutants on the screen. They were just, I felt like they were just doing the opposite of cashing in. They were basically trying to cash out and be like, we're done with all this. We're literally wiping out the X-Men mutant world from Fox.
Yeah.
And I felt like that kind of sucked. But now it's kind of been reset. So what else you got?
Well, I watched this anthology movie called The Etheria Film Night 2024. It's on Shudder. I think there's 8 or 9 like little short horror features that are on this. Every short is a female director.
Okay.
It was really good. It was really enjoyable. I turned it on to watch. Well, I'll just start watching it and then I'll go to bed and yada yada, but end up sticking around. It was pretty damn good. So Kate had seen a clip for the old classic movie, The Lottery, which was based on a short story. And she read the short story and she wanted to watch it. And it's not streaming anywhere, but it's on YouTube for free. It's an old like 1996 or 97 movie that.
Do you realize what you just said? It's an old 1996
made for TV movie. Takes place in Maine. And this town has this lottery where basically, spoiler alert, every year the town has to sacrifice someone by stoning them to death to please whatever prosperity the town needs. And it's not a bad flick. We actually enjoyed the hell out of it. But yeah, that's what that's about. I got three other movies to talk about. First one, Deer Camp 86.
As in D-E-E-R or D-E-A-R? As in
D-E-E-R Camp 86. It okay. is a, is it a Canadian movie? Pretty sure it's a Canadian movie. Came out in 2022, but it just got released. It's supposed to take place in Detroit. They travel north to take to do this annual deer hunt, and but something in the woods gets awakened, and it's okay. It's okay. I'm just gonna say that it's okay. Yeah, it takes place in Michigan.
I thought you said it takes place in Maine. Oh no,
that no, was that's the lottery. I said I think this is a Canadian movie. It's not. It takes place in Michigan. It's just okay. I mean, I wouldn't buy it if it's streaming somewhere for free. Check it out.
Okay.
But, yeah. Two more to talk about. Last night I watched on Shudder, I watched Humaine. This movie is fantastic. It is a Caitlin Cronenberg movie. Yes. The daughter of David Cronenberg. Those Cronenbergs can make some fucked up, twisty movies.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this is her directorial debut. Yeah, it's her first feature film. It says the film combines elements of horror, thriller, and family drama to address the topic of climate crisis. Amid an environmental crisis that causes the world's governments to mandate voluntary as well as constricted euthanasia as a means of population control. So you can sign up to be euthanized, do your part for your country, and your surviving family will get tax-free $250,000.
Oh, okay.
Of course, it's a rich family. Things go wrong. Cast is Jay Baruchel.
Baruchel.
Yeah, there you go. Emily Hampshire, Peter Gallagher. Enrico Colin Tony plays Bob. He's real good. I enjoyed the hell out of this. Like, I legitimately loved this movie. I thought it was pretty damn fantastic. I thought the story was unique. I thought everything was interesting. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. It just got released this past Friday, the 26th, I think Friday was. It's on Shudder. It's worth your time. You should go check it out.
Cool.
And then the last movie I have to talk about individually is Boy Kills World. This What'd movie
you think of that?
Is absolutely fucking fantastic. I mean, I am just shocked how much I enjoyed the movie.
It had no business being that good.
No, it had absolutely no business being this good. It's described as a dystopian action comedy. Boy, that's just the lead character's name. He played Boy and his sister Mina played arcade games, and he can't talk and he can't hear. So his internal voice is the same voice from the video game he grew up watching or playing, which is played by voiced by H. John Benjamin, who is absolutely brilliant in the role.
H. John Benjamin is one of those guys who, like, he look, if you see him in person, he just looks like a dumpy white guy. He can never be a leading man, but that voice has carried him so goddamn far.
It's crazy, but it's Bill Skarsgård plays Boy. It's probably his best character he's ever played.
Yes, I would agree.
We also got Jessica Roth, Femke Janssen, Charlton Copley. I mean, it is so friggin' good.
Told you, man. And that's not like, oh, I told you so. That's like, I'm so glad you watched it because, like I said, we started watching The Beekeeper and we were like, nah. And then we're like, well, let's just try this. It'll be dumb.
Yeah.
And came out of it like, dude, this was fucking amazing. Like, I wish I had bought it instead of renting it.
It was so campy and over the top and just like, and the premise of this dystopian world you live in with classes and this and that and just revenge. And on and on and on, and just nonstop violence and killing and blood and fighting.
Over the top ways.
And it's all over the top. Yep. And yes, there's a bunch of stuff that's like, there's one thing I'm not going to say, I'm not ruining this for anybody.
No,
go watch it. But there's something that's like, well, that's blatantly this or whatever. But, and even when they do the reveal, it's like, yup, it's like, who gives a shit? You know, just how they freely just kill the lower class without any regard for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like medieval times was the same way, yep. Or even Roman times.
It had elements of Kill Bill. It had elements of Archer. It had elements of Jesus, a million different things, but it did it so well. Like, again, it had no business being this good, but it was entertaining. Like I said, this is one of those few movies, one of those rare movies where the twist surprised me. Like, it legitimately surprised me.
Me too.
Way more than I was I was like, holy shit.
The only line I'm going to quote, which is, I think, my favorite line in the movie, which is H. John Benjamin voicing, player two is fucking insane.
Oh, my God. It was just such a good movie. This is one that I would watch again and again. Like,
this was really, 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 really good.
Absolutely. Hard sell to anybody who likes action, comedy, just a good revenge story, over the top.
Sam Raimi throws his producer credit on this one.
Yep. Yep.
It was just so genuinely good.
I had forgotten there was one of the movie that we watched. Remember how I said the other night we were looking for a good suspense thriller type?
Sure.
I've heard about this one many, many times. And I finally, we sat down, we got around to watching it. It's a movie on Amazon called Predestination. It has Ethan Hawke. And the one thing that everybody said, if you look on IMDb, which don't look on IMDb, but if you hear anything about this, they say the less you know about this movie going into it, the better. And I will agree with that completely. I had it figured out, but I still say it should be watched at least once. It only needs to be watched once, but it's got elements of time travel and it's got elements of mystery to it. But I will say, don't look up anything. Don't read about it. Go watch this. Go watch Predestination on Amazon. And it's not the greatest movie in the world, but it is very enjoyable. And at the end of it, you'll be like, wow, okay. It's a thinking movie as well. So it's not the kind that you can look away from or do something else. So, yeah. Predestination, okay. Amazon. I give it a sell. I give it a pretty hard sell, but you'll only need to watch it once.
Okay.
So do we want to do news and trailers and stuff before we get into Deadpool and Wolverine?
Let's do some news and trailers and stuff.
So I looked back. God, I don't know. Apparently I'm going through puberty.
I looked back.
Yeah, I believe we started with Gladiator 2 got an official trailer. Again, we've been out of this for a couple of weeks now. So you're probably like listening to this going, oh, Gladiator 2, they had that trailer weeks ago. Yes, correct.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, the trailer doesn't make me want to watch the movie. Like, it's just, I don't think we needed a Gladiator sequel.
It's fine.
The trailer's fine, but they could have just called it anything else.
Well, I think that they did that because this tells the story of the kid who was, you know, the son in that, and now he's an adult. So it is continuing the story. It is continuing the everything that happened, but they're trying to tie in the whatever it is, like 20 plus years later. So I get why they're doing it that way. It's not like they said, oh, this is Gladiator 2, and it's just completely different people in a different time, in a different place. And, you know, this is a continuation of the exact same characters, just, you know, decades later.
I'm still scrolling back. What date are we on? July what?
July 9th.
Jeez, I'm crow. It's a long ways to go. Let's see here.
The next one is Time Bandits, the Apple TV Plus TV series that is a remake slash rip on the 80s cult classic movie Time Bandits.
Which, that's a solid flick.
Yep.
That was a very solid flick.
The series looks pretty good. I haven't checked it out yet. It is, there's at least one or two episodes out there, but Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement automatically make me want to watch it.
Yep.
I'm not a big Lisa Kudrow fan, so seeing her in like the lead role of the leader of the Time Bandits doesn't really do it for me, but
same.
But again, Taika and Jemaine, especially Jemaine Clement, that sells me on it.
Yeah. Umbrella Academy final season trailer. I mean, I'm gonna watch it.
Yes. And I'm glad that it's a final season, that they're getting, you know, this is the final one. This is where we're ending it. Let's finish the
story. Yes.
Yep.
Let's see, just real quick, because now I want to know, like, because this is one of those ones where it's taken forever to get here. Right?
Oh, Umbrella season Academy. Four? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wanting to look at that up real quick.
While you're doing that, I will say
it'll be over 2 years since we got season three, which came out in 2022. We're getting this August 8th, 2024, only 6 episodes.
Not to sound like one of those guys, but I'm not the only one that thinks it. I know you think it. I've seen a number of people online think it. Do you remember when every year we would get like 23 episodes of a show?
Yes.
And now it'll be like 2 or 3 years to get 6 episodes of a show.
That's how the BBC's done it since the 70s, man. You know,
it seems like crazy.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we don't like. There's so many new shows out there, but we're not getting 23 episodes of every show anymore. We're getting 6 to 10 to 12 max.
Yeah.
And
longer wait times in between.
Yeah. And then like these long Stranger Things is the worst for any of them. Really. But this isn't anything new. I mean, what was it? Are You Being Served, which is a show that a BBC show that I enjoy thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And it was on from 1972 to 1985. That's 13 years. However, we only got 10 seasons. And there was a couple of times where there was huge gaps between seasons. You know, like the end of season 5 was in April 77. The beginning of season 6 was November of 78. You know, so like that was not uncommon to go huge gaps like the, yep. You know, on that show. Season 9 ended in May of 83. Season 10 began of February of 85. So that's just something that the BBC's done a lot over the years. And it's just not something we're used to. But yeah, we're definitely getting bombarded with it. And I don't like it. Spider-Noir, Lamour Morris is going to play Spider-Man Robbie Robertson.
Yep. Yep. That'll okay. be cool.
Yep. I can get behind that. Chasing Amy.
And he was not stuttering there.
Nope, that's the title of it. Has a distribution deal. I remember watching this. Like, I have seen this already, streaming online somewhere. Because I remember thinking, this isn't very good.
Documentaries are hit and miss. Yeah. They're either really good or really bad. There's no middle ground in my experience.
Yeah. We're getting a Shrek 5. Okay.
Nobody asked for it. I don't care.
Yep. Sam Raimi's gonna direct a movie.
It's his first non-Marvel feature in a while. It's gonna be a horror movie. Shocker.
Yeah.
Called Send Help.
I'm here for it. I'll watch the shit out of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He sent us a trailer. Do We Live in a Time?
We Live in Time. Yep.
Sorry, We Live in Time with Andrew Garfield. That looks interesting.
Florence Pugh. Yeah, basically, it's another one of these where we get to see, you know, their lifetime, their relationship. She's sick and she develops a sickness. And yeah, it looks like a nice love story. Tragic. Yeah, but
looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I have not watched IF yet, even though it's now available.
I have not either. It's on Paramount Plus. I don't know if I ever will. I cannot remember the Decameron.
The Decameron is that one that kind of looks like a, not a spoofy take on Bridgerton and those kind of things, but
it's inspired by a 14th century Italian short story collection. Yep, apparently it debuted 4 days ago.
Yes.
In 1348, as the Black Death ravages Florence, a group of nobles and their servants retreat to the countryside. As they attempt to wait out the plague in the hills of Tuscany with wine and sex, the protagonists eventually must fight for their survival.
Mm-hmm.
It's right up Kate's alley.
Yep. But it looks much more humorous than... So Kate might not like it as much.
Well, all 8 episodes are out. It's 66% on Rotten Tomatoes. That means anything to anybody?
I like the lead actress. She played Lily in Sex Education.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Let's see here. Shelley Duvall passed away.
Yep.
Really, the only thing I remember her from is The Shining and playing... Olive Oil in the Popeye movie, and then and then she was like the host of like some bedtime tales TV show. Let's see here. Oh, I had a root canal. That sucked. Oh.
Yeah. Is it doing okay now though?
Yeah, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. It's just the $1,007 out of pocket sucked.
Yeah.
That sucked a lot. Oh, you sent us the trailer to The Perfect Couple.
Yeah. Yeah, looks interesting.
That's a TV show, is it not?
It's a Netflix.
Kidman, Liev Schreiber, Dakota Fanning.
Yep. Basically, somebody's marrying into a wealthy family. Mother-in-law doesn't like her. Secrets are coming to light. It's dramatic. It looks interesting.
Yep. It's going to be on Netflix in September.
Watchmen animated movie. Okay.
Yep. Don't care. The Wasp. Now, it's not Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No.
Because when I first saw that pop up, I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh, no, this is British. And this is like... As it says here, Carla and Heather meet up, having not spoken in years, but what Heather has to say has repercussions for both women. Dun, dun, dun! So.
Looks like a nice thriller. Nice mystery thriller.
I randomly threw out there we should have gotten a second season of Stumptown.
That was completely random. You just, out of the blue, you're like, we should have gotten a second season of Stumptown.
Well, I was trying to remember what the nickname was for Portland, Oregon. And all I could think of was Rip City, but that's not it. It was Stumptown. And then I was like, man, we should get a second season of that show. That was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Doherty died. Breast cancer.
Which, while it's tragic, it was expected. Like, she has been battling that for years. She knew that it had come back, that it was like, no, it's terminal now. So she's been making the most of her time. And
yeah,
very tragic, but also absolutely knew that this was coming. This wasn't like out of the blue or anything.
Terminator Zero anime on Netflix. I don't care.
Yeah, it didn't look that good. It didn't do anything to impress me and make me want to watch it.
And, you know, we got Timothy Oliphant and Rosario Dawson both voicing characters. But yeah, no, I just.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything for me at all. That was sad. Weird Al released a new song on Friday. The 18th. Yeah, I think that was Friday. That was awesome.
Yeah. It was nice that he did another polka, basically.
Yes, it was really, 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 really good and enjoyable. And I'm very happy that we got that. He's supposed to be announcing his tour Friday the 19th. He's supposed to be announcing his tour next in September.
Okay.
For next year. I hope he comes to Maine again. I need to go. So. But yeah.
Yeah.
A different man.
What a weird concept for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So basically Sebastian Stan is this guy who almost looks like the Elephant Man. He's like got this horrible disfiguration all across his face. And he kind of tries to make the best of it. And people know him as who he is. And then he gets it removed and suddenly he's attractive and everybody's like fawning all over him. But then he sees this other guy who has the same thing.
So the premise that I've read, because I saw that too, and then I read the premise in preparation for tonight, because I like Sebastian Stan. He's in it. And I did not get this from the premise, from the trailer. After ongoing surgery for a new start in life, Edward, a man with neurofibromatosis, which is a tumors growing in the nervous system, non-cancerous or not, becomes fixated on another man playing him in a stage production based on Edward's former life of having the Elephant Man face.
Oh, so this isn't even a guy that has it. This is just a guy playing him in a stage play?
And the trailer makes it seem like he's jealous of this guy that has it and just lives this great life. But
yeah,
according to this synopsis, no, he's just he's mad at a guy playing him in a movie in a stage play of his life.
What the hell? I didn't get that at all.
I don't either. Did I? So that was very confusing. But A24, friggin' A24, man, holy cow. Have they put out some movies? Like this company like didn't even exist until 2016, essentially. Well, no, 2012. A24 Films was 2012 to 2016. And then just A24, they changed the name of it to in 2016. And holy shit, the last couple of years, have they put out some crazy amount of movies?
Yeah.
Like Everything Everywhere All at Once is an A24 film. Civil War, Uncut Gems, Lady Bird, Talk to Me, Hereditary, The Iron Claw, Moonlight, Midsummer, Ex Machina. They have put out so many. Oh, The Whale was an A24 film as well. The number of movies this production company is pumping out, it's like almost every trailer we share, it seems like practically every other one is an A24 film.
Right?
Yeah. They're really pumping out some pretty awesome stuff.
They are. Excuse me.
Let's see. Running on Empty. Oh, I don't remember this one either. I know I watched it.
Lucy Hale, Keir Gilchrist. Basically, it's people are able to go to a clinic or whatever and find out when they're going to die.
And that's right. That's right.
There's a guy who's with his girlfriend at the time, and she finds out that she's got like 70 years to live, and he's got like a year or something.
So she
breaks up with him, and now he's on this dating site for people who have a short time to live.
They match you up with someone has the same lifespan. Yeah,
yep. That's right. And he ends up meeting Lucy Hale's character, who she works there, and they kind of start to fall in love with each other.
Yeah.
Seems like it'll be a sweet, if, you know, bit morbid love story.
Yeah, it does seem a bit odd. There'll probably be a twist where she actually has a short time to live too.
Or maybe we find out that, you know, the tests were wrong and he has longer to live. Or
right.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like with me, you know, he dies technically, quote unquote, and then somebody resuscitates him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay, so we got a movie called The Killer last year.
Mm-hmm.
That David Fincher did, and now we got another movie this year called The Killer that John Woo's doing, which, by the way, is a remake of his 1989 flick
called
Cha Young Fat, called The Killer.
Thank you.
It's going to be on Peacock on August the 23rd. I don't know how much it's going to stick to the original story. But let's see here. Back in 1989, when it came out, it was about a hitman that decides to retire for one last job. In this case, in the movie we're going to watch, she refuses to kill this woman, but in this one here, he accidentally blinds somebody, and yeah. So anyway, well, a female lounge singer, anyhow. So just somebody. This is considered one of the greatest action films ever made, the 1989 mm-hmm. one that John Woo put out. So
oh yes, and it's famous especially for the dove scene.
Yes,
John Woo always yes. has the doves.
Oh hell yeah, he does. Let's see here. The Deliverance on Netflix. Go for it.
After moving into a mysterious house, a struggling mother must face down her demons in order to save her children's souls. Inspired by a true story of possession. And yeah. it's a Lee Daniels movie. Andra Day, Glenn Close. It looks okay. I've never been a big fan of real life exorcism stories.
Yeah.
There's too much religion in there. There's too little like action or twist for me. So I don't know. It's going to be a pass for me, but I'm sure that a lot of people out there are going to like it.
I didn't know if it was a remake of the movie Deliverance when I saw the title and then the image.
Nice.
No such luck.
No, Mike, because this is The Deliverance, not
That's right.
Deliverance.
Apparently you said this thing that Black Noir actor Nathan Mitchell is narcoleptic in real life, so they just worked it into the script.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that the character in the book or whatever was like that. They were like, oh, shit, we should add this to the show.
The soundtrack to Deadpool and Wolverine has a song from the Greatest Showman soundtrack on it. The soundtrack to this movie is awesome.
Yeah. And that song, in fairness, was in there for like a half of a half.
Yes.
Of a second.
It was just, yes, it was not. Yes. Yeah. Bob Newhart died.
Yeah. This was a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But again, I feel like with Bob Newhart, that's also one that is not surprising.
Yeah, no, he was old, like pretty damn old. The last thing I remember seeing him in was The Big Bang Theory. Bob Newhart was 95.
Yeah, so
94.
Lived a good life.
So yeah. Let's see. Oh, I got to work. That's gross. Oh, The Joker, Folie à Deux. Again,
I did not like the first movie, and I will not be watching this.
I will watch this when it streams at home somewhere when I'm not paying for it. I thought Lady Gaga looked good in the trailer. But it's not something I'm excited to watch by any means.
I feel like the Joker movie and this one, more than anything, they are advertisements for how cool smoking can be. Because, holy shit, even in the trailer, there's like 15 shots of people smoking.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. You sent me the trailer to Incoming. I am just not a new, like, this does not appeal to me.
No.
This movie does not appeal to me. It's a rated R. It's a hard R movie of like a freshman trying to date a sophomore going through a party. And it basically is just saying that there's all kinds. Everyone's just going to do sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Basically in this party. And it's just like, I don't know many. Maybe I was boring, but I don't think many freshmen in high school today are like, it just didn't seem realistic. It's going to be on
Netflix. You are absolutely 1,000% incorrect, sir.
Oh, yeah. Freshmen in high school are just.
Even before that.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You have been out of high school for far too long, my friend.
I have a kid that just graduated high school. I have a kid that just was a freshman in high school. I don't think it's happening like it's on this movie.
Okay.
Fight Night, The Million Dollar Heist. Nope. I'm good with it. I think
normally I like a good heist, but it didn't look that good.
We've seen this concept multiple times.
We have.
So.
Oh, yes, we have.
And this is actually not. Is this going to be? No, it's not a movie. It's a TV series on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in the 1970s.
Yep.
Kevin Hart's in it. Kevin Hart, Don Cheadle, Samuel Jackson, Terrence Howard, Taraji P. Henson.
It's got a great cast. Great
cast, but yeah, the trailer did nothing for me. Oh, man. Oh, did you see that clip I sent you of like...
Yeah. the longest interview ever.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman talk with Jesse McAvoy, and I can't remember the other guy's name. And then it's Hugh Jackman talking to Patrick Stewart and Ian, you know, like... It was just Michael, that was
Michael
funny.
Fassbender and James.
Michael Fassbender, yeah. Mac, I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Bad Monkey, I don't care about.
Oh, I think it looks great. I know it's an Apple TV Plus, but Vince Vaughn, basically, he is a detective, and then he gets essentially suspended/fired for doing bad things, and he ends up getting a job delivering. He has to deliver a body part of a guy who mysteriously went missing, and there's mystery involved and who killed him, and everybody's a suspect. And I think it looks great.
If this was a movie, I think I could be on board with it.
Okay.
Okay. But because it's a TV series, and I know Bill Lawrence is involved, I get it.
Yeah,
I can only handle so much Vince Vaughn.
Oh, really?
Yes, like I think Vince Vaughn's funny, but I can only take him in so many doses. And this trailer looks like it's going to be the Vince Vaughnessing of Vince Vaughning, and I just don't think I can make it through 10 episodes.
Wow, okay. I think I'm going to check it out, but that's going to be one of those where like I have to like Time Bandits is also on Apple TV Plus, so I'm going to have to like recommit to getting into Apple TV Plus. Because now I forget that I even have it because there's nothing on there that I really want to watch at the time. Except for when Silo comes back, when Severance comes back, I want to watch those. But yeah.
Yeah. But like, anyways, I don't know. Like, I can only take so much of him as the leading person. That's just me, I realize, but whatever.
You're a different breed of cat.
The Terrifier 3. You know, I am not on the Terrifier bandwagon. I've seen the first two. I've
never watched any of them.
I've watched them for the sake of being able to be in the conversation because many people in my circle, online circle of horror movie fans, love these movies. But yeah. Oh, I think it's funny. I stumbled across my review of Deadpool and Wolverine to you.
Yeah.
I loved it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
Doctor Who spinoff. Talk about this.
So essentially, this seems to be a unit focused one. It's going to be a 5-episode spinoff. So it's not like a whole new series. It's just 5 episodes. It's going to focus on UNIT and it's going to include, God, what was her name? She was the head of the TVA. She had a weird name.
Yeah.
I want to say like Killmonger, but that wasn't it. But you know what I mean. So Russell Tovey, Gugu Mbatha. And yeah, it's just they didn't give a lot of details on it. I'm going to check it out.
I just want to throw this fact out there because I think it's hilarious and this is unrelated to our stream. I just something I didn't have on there, but I just got a reminder kind of text of it. I like baseball facts, weird sports facts that is. And so here's a weird sport fact. On June 26, the Blue Jays played the Boston Red Sox and the game got suspended in the second inning due to heavy rain. It was the end of that game series, so they couldn't resume the game later. So the resume date is August 26, which is 2 months later. So the game will pick up August 26 in the second inning with the teams right where they were, score everything wise. This is what's hilarious to me. A player named Danny Jansen started for the Blue Jays as catcher. He was traded to the Red Sox. If he starts for the Red Sox as catcher in the game, then he'll be the first player in Major League history that will have a credit that he played for both teams in the same game.
Oh, because that's
the way, the way sports statistics works is it's considered the same game, even though it's 2 months later.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think shit like that is fun.
Absolutely.
All right. Dexter sequel series. Fire away. I can't remember. I know Michael C. Hall's coming. How is he going to be resurrected?
Well, you skipped the one about In a Violent Nature, too, that you sent me.
Oh, we talked.
Oh, yeah, you already talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I also skipped The Boys. Yeah.
So it's interesting about this. First off, they announced that Dexter will be doing the voiceover narration for the prequel series where he's like a young man back when Harry was still alive. So that's interesting enough. But this is called Dexter Resurrection. And some of the speculation has been that we're going to follow Harrison and Dexter, Michael C. Hall, will play his dark passenger. And so we'll actually have the dark passenger talking to him. But more than likely, he will be, they're going to find a way to bring him back. When people asked Michael C. Hall if Dexter was really dead at the end of Dexter, whatever it was, New Blood, he said it was a very cold day. Not sure if that means, you know, it was so cold that it slowed his bleeding so that he would survive. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about this, because I remember with New Blood, we were excited because they were basically getting rid of the stupid lumberjack ending, and they did a good job of that. But I also felt like it was good and bad the way that they ended it. He basically was killed and now Harrison was on his own. I don't know how I feel about a series where he's now resurrected and comes back. And
yeah, I don't know how I feel about that either. Cause like I actually liked how they ended the original series. I know many people were like, they should have just made it ambiguous, not have him sit down in the logging camp. But I liked how they ended the original series when they brought it back. I enjoyed it up until the end when they killed him. And I'm like, what the fuck? What was that all about?
Right.
I was not a fan of that.
No. No, nor was I. So we'll see what they do with this. I'm not pissed, but I'm also not like excited.
Yeah.
A lot of Marvel news out of Hall H for San Diego Comic-Con. The big one here that everyone's talking about more than anything is that they announced that the next two Avengers movies, which originally were going to be the Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, are now going to be called Doomsday and Secret Wars. And this is... So... They announced that the Russos are coming back, which, great, okay. Don't tell us that time travel is wrong this time, guys. But they announced that Robert Downey Jr. would be playing Victor Von Doom.
Yep, pretty to a very loud ovation.
Yes, yes. A lot of people in the crowd there were very excited, screaming, hollering, chanting, whooping. Since then... The reactions are very mixed online. Some people are very mad saying, you know, why are you reusing Robert Downey Jr.? Like, this is just a publicity stunt. You're just desperate. You're screaming desperation here, trying to, you know, recapture lightning in a bottle. Don't you have anybody better? Blah, blah, blah. My thoughts are this. First off, there is at least one Earth out there where Tony Stark did become Dr. Doom. He was not Victor Von Doom. He was Tony Stark, and he became Dr. Doom because there was something, I think it was like aliens or something, came and basically decimated the planet. The heroes and villains couldn't stop them. The scars that version of Doom, you know, Tony Stark got, were from fighting the Human Torch, and he killed the Human Torch in the process. But there is an alternate Earth out there. the Russos said as they were on stage, they were talking about how there's so much that can be done with this Marvel multi-universe. Okay. So my thought is this is going to be a variant. That is all there is. They already have somebody in mind for Doctor Doom, the legitimate Doctor Doom.
It's Avengers Doomsday.
Yes.
So, yes, I think we're going to see the actual Doctor Doom. And I agree. He's going to be Tony Stark Doctor Doom variant, like you just said.
Yes,
I agree with that.
And I think that this is a good way. They've got everybody talking about Robert Downey Jr. They've got everybody like up in a buzz, because remember, it was supposed to be the Kang Dynasty before everything with Jonathan Majors. And there was going to be the entire multiverse of Kangs, all the different variants of Kangs. So it would make sense, especially where Secret Wars is all about two universes colliding into each other, which they'll probably do multiple universes colliding into each other. We've already seen at the tail end of the Marvels crossing over into another universe. Deadpool and Wolverine really talks about the multiverse. So, yeah, I think that this is going to be a variant, and Doomsday is going to be about multiple Victor Von Dooms, possibly even vying for the spot as the top, kind of like Kang was going to do. And I think that they're going to keep it very tightly under wraps so that everybody's distracted and everybody's thinking, Robert Downey Jr. is Dr. Doom. Let's talk about this. Oh, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see him. And then we're going to get the reveal in the movie. Maybe by the end, maybe in the middle, but we're going to get the reveal of who the real Dr. Doom is. You know, who the one going forward in the MCU is going to be. And it will not be RDJ. He is not going to be the permanent Dr. Doom. This is just a publicity thing. It's going to be a fun little variant thing. That's my thought.
I agree with you on this.
So, yeah, everybody who's freaking out and flipping out and saying, you know, that it's the best or it's the worst, give it a little time. I don't think that this is permanent one way or the other. That being said, this year there were a lot more. Like, I know in the past when they've done Comic-Con, it's been very hard to find footage of stuff that's shown inside Hall H. This year it is not as hard. People are recording on their phones and absolutely putting it up online. So I sent you, and I'm not sure if you were able to view it well enough, but no,
I couldn't view it because I don't have TikTok and it doesn't let me watch TikTok videos. So I went and found it on X though.
Okay. So we've seen the trailer for Fantastic Four First Steps is what it's called. That's the subtitle. Now, they just started filming this like last week or the week before that. So it is not surprising at all that basically it looks like they filmed what they would need to do to make a trailer for Comic-Con. There is no special effects. There are no superpowered people. The most we get to see is like a shadowed version of Ben Grimm as the Thing in his Rocky form. But we don't get to see the full what he looks like. It's just straight up. Shadowy form of him on a dating show. Otherwise, we get to see a lot of Reed Richards. We get to see a little bit of Sue, very little bit of Johnny. And they're going on their space mission in their Fantasticar. It is taking place in the 60s, like early 60s, back when the comics first came out. Yep. They have confirmed that this will be an alternate Marvel Universe. So this is, but they also said that the Fantastic Four that we see in this movie will appear in both of the new Avengers movies. So that's good to know. And at the very end, we get a little sting of Galactus, and he looks fucking great. He looks like he will be a giant like he's supposed to, and he's hungry.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for that, the concept, the premise, when it's taking place. The little trailer, I can't wait for the actual to see the trailer more clearly, but yeah.
I also can't wait to see what the special effects are going to look like for their powers. Like I said, you know, we saw nothing other than that shadow of Ben Grimm, but I want to see what the stretching looks like. I want to see what the what Sue's powers look like. Johnny Storm.
You think it's gonna be 1960-ish? Like they're gonna possibly go like true to time frame, I guess.
Possibly.
So, Jay and Silent Bob 3. Their title of the show is gonna, movie is gonna be called Store Wars, and essentially, they have a dispensary, and they're in competition with another dispensary.
The dispensary that they're operating is out of the old RST video store location.
Yep, which is that's what's there now. My theory, my thought on this is if this was the, okay, for these characters, it makes sense because they've always been drug dealers. If Kevin Smith had made this flick back when he was heavily into marijuana, I probably would not be there for it. But since he discontinued his use, I feel like his podcast has gotten better. I feel like his movies got better. So I'll watch it. The storyline makes sense for these characters.
Yeah, and I like that he's going with the theme. So we had Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which even the font of that was like The Empire Strikes Back, and now we've got Store Wars.
So. Yes, exactly, yes. It makes perfect sense on that side of things.
We got a teaser for Section 31.
Yeah, it's a movie, not a series, which I think I knew that, but I guess I was confused. So
I had been hoping that it was going to be a series because of, just the concept behind it. I would have loved to have seen an entire stretched out, these are Mission Impossible and Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I sang the trailer to the 4:30 movie.
You know what was funny about this? I saw a thing online when Kevin Smith introduced this at Comic-Con. He was like, we're going to show you the trailer now. And unlike what they tell you everywhere else, he goes, I want you to take out your phones. I want you to record this. And I want you to post this online. Please go ahead. So,
yeah, that's definitely different. This looks good. It takes place back in the 90s, early 90s. About a guy that's got a crush on a girl and going on a date at the movie theater and hijinks ensue. And, I can relate to this more than Incoming, I think, because the time frame when it takes place, I was that age group or a little older.
Mm-hmm.
This looks damn good. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, this will be fun.
I sent you the trailer to We Are Zombies. It's by the team that Gabe brought us Summer of 84.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been excited for a zombie movie in quite a while.
Yeah, you're pretty anti-zombie a lot of times.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to this.
Looks decent. Basically, there zombies are everywhere. Not like an iZombie, but they're everywhere. And what do we do with them?
Yeah, let's put them to work. Yep. You sent me the trailer to The Penguin.
I did. Looks decent.
It really does, actually, yeah. I really forget that that's Colin Farrell.
I know. He even comes on in the very beginning in looking normal, and then you see him in the makeup, which is a lot of makeup. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, that really is him, yeah.
We're getting Kristen Milioti as Sophia Falcone. That's kind of cool.
Hmm. Yes.
The hangman there. I liked her a lot in How I Met Your Mother. This looks really good. We're getting, it's 8 episodes starting in September, finishing up in November. So, yep.
Yeah.
I'll watch the hell out of that. And that's it on that front. We just have Deadpool and Wolverine.
So last chance, everybody, if you don't want to be spoiled for this, then we'll talk to you next week.
But. Yeah. All right. Man, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yes.
I guess I'll start out with, in general, did you enjoy the movie?
Yes.
I did as well. I thought it was pretty fantastic. Were you surprised at the lack of current MCU cameos?
Yes. And I will caveat that by saying that I was very surprised at first, almost offended.
Yep.
And then when I realized what they were doing.
Yes.
Then I was okay with it.
This was like a love letter farewell to the Fox Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you will.
Yes. And they focused almost exclusively on rejects.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And I thought that was pretty fun, quite frankly.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Once that locked in, I was like, okay, this makes more sense. Because, yeah, I was expecting cameos out the ass from like Winter Soldier and yep. Captain America and Iron Man and like everybody, Wanda. And no, like there was almost none of that. But it actually worked out really well when they did it that way.
Yep.
Sorry, you look like you were going to say something.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, overall, I liked this movie. I did not love this movie. There was a lot that I think that they could have done better. There's a lot that I really liked what they did. You're right. This was a parting farewell. Some of the stuff in here was, you know, chef's kiss. As far as a movie goes, though, it was not very cohesive. There were a lot of big gaps in there, and I felt like they really kind of focused on shock factor and fun factor, and it was a fun fucking movie.
There was lots of cursing.
Lots
of killing.
Lots of violence.
We get, you know, at the beginning of the film, we get him digging up Logan because Wade Wilson went 616, interviewed with Happy Hogan to be an Avenger. He got
which declined. Is still weird. How did he end up in 616 to interview as an Avenger? But his reality is 1-0005 something.
He has the watch that he got from Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which That's also, why wasn't Cable here? Couldn't even make an appearance in the beginning when all the other, like Negasonic was there, Yukio was there, Colossus was there.
They made a joke about it at some point.
Yeah. But
they did make a joke about it.
Like Cable never went home, or he wasn't going to be able to go home. Maybe right. Because Wade fixed the watch, he was able to go home.
I don't know.
Or sorry, Wade didn't fix it. Right. Negasonic fixed it.
But he requests to join the Avengers. He gets rejected by them. So he goes back to Earth 10005. And now 6 years later, he's a car salesman for like a CarMax type place.
Yep.
And Vanessa's dumped him because Wade pushed her away, which is what he does.
Yep.
Yep. And he's at his birthday party when the TVA shows up to bring him to Mr. Paradox, who's like, hey, we're going to give you a place on 616. You can be a hero. Like you always want, you can matter like you've always wanted to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that now they've introduced this new concept of anchor beings. And yes. Each universe has an anchor being, somebody who is so pivotally, monumentally important that if they cease to exist, then that entire reality unravels. Which it seems like that person could only ever be an immortal, essentially, because reality would just be snuffed out of existence fairly regularly. Like, imagine if you were the anchor being for this world.
Yeah.
That means as soon as you die, everything blinks out of existence.
And the reality, though, is it takes a couple thousand years.
Yes.
For that to happen. And the anchor being on Earth 10005 was Logan from the movie where he dies. And because he died, then now Mr. Paradox's job is to, you know, handle the diminishing of this timeline. But he wants to use a time ripper, speed it up and just mercy kill, quote unquote, the timeline.
Because he's trying to prove to the TVA that this is the way that it should be done instead of letting them fizzle out over thousands.
Right. And this is where we get our first round of cameos where we get clips from the other MCU movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that's not a clip from one of the other MCU movies is him and Thor, where Wade's mask is ripped apart and Thor's like holding him and they're crying and upset. And, oh, quick, turn that off.
And yeah, you weren't supposed to see that yet.
Yeah.
So they make mention of it several times during the movie. So
yeah,
you know that that's coming up in one of the future projects that they're doing, which is great.
So Wade's deal is that he gets to go to Earth 616 and matter, but they're going to wipe out his timeline and everyone he cares about because Logan's dead. So he steals Paradox's tempad so he can go find a variant of Logan to bring to his timeline to find a new anchor.
Well, first he goes and he's like, Logan can't really be dead. He has a regenerative healing factor. And so he goes and he digs up the corpse, and which was really cool having just watched Logan and watched the end where they had the cross on his grave. And she as the last thing, she picks it up and sets it down as an X.
Yeah.
And then it's that exact same shot when Wade goes there to dig up the body. But lo and behold, there's an adamantium skeleton.
Holy shit, you're actually dead.
Yeah. So then, like you said, we get an awesome fight scene.
The Kingman church fight scene.
Yep. Where he basically kills countless numbers of TVA agents using Wolverine's adamantium skeleton.
And desecrating the good memory of Logan. Because when they talk about Logan and they show his death scene, everyone in the TVA is crying and upset. Yep. And
And this is one of the, this is a gimmick that they have used over and over again in Deadpool, where we start off and then they go, oops, but we have to take you back.
Yeah.
And so we go back 6 weeks to, when the TVA came and took him, and said, you should do this. And then he escapes. Oh, now we're caught up to this. It's not a terrible thing, but you and I have talked multiple times about how when TV shows do that, when they open on an action scene and then they're 72 hours early and you're like, go fuck yourself. This is annoying. Just tell me the story in order. So right. Deadpool has done this since the first one. And okay, the first one, it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But the first one jumped around a lot, back and forth. Sure. This one does it a number of times, and it's kind of annoying because we've already seen it in a couple of the movies. So I didn't appreciate that, but whatever. It's still fun to watch him beat the shit out of people with an adamantium skeleton. So montage of Wolverines.
Yes, where he goes and meets all the different variant Wolverines. Now, I couldn't find a list of them all.
So there was the really short one, which was actually the comics, closer to the comic appropriate one, because the real Wolverine is supposed to be 5'3". This guy was CGI tiny, though. He was probably 4 foot tall. And that was funny. There was the Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, who had one of his hands was missing and it was a metal stump. And that was kind of cool, to see him. That's when everything went to shit and they're all basically evil, quote unquote. We got to see Patch, which a lot of people thought maybe Daniel Radcliffe was going to be Patch, but it was still Hugh Jackman. Patch was one of Logan's, disguises where he would basically put on an eye patch and be classy and go and work undercover. As if you couldn't recognize the guy, but whatever. Probably the coolest variant that we could see was the, what did he call him? The Cavalrine?
Cavalrine, yes.
The Henry Cavill one, who also, talk about meta and fourth wall breaking, expanded his claws, he did the fist pump like he did in Mission Impossible, the reloading the biceps, and then came up and just killed. Holy shit, he looked good. He looked good as Wolverine.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, big, burly muscles, the cigar.
He makes fun of the DC universe, but doesn't say DC's. We'll treat you better than those people down the street, stuff
the
like
shit
that.
The shitbags down the street, And he found one. Oh, he found the one in the classic brown costume, and he's like, didn't you fight Hulk in this costume? Yes. And then Hulk's behind him.
We get our Hulk cameo.
Oh, that was great. So, yeah, just variant after variant of Wolverine until he finally finds the sad sack at the bar.
Yep. And this is the worst Wolverine.
It is the worst Wolverine. This was interesting, and nobody's really talked about this. A while back, and I'm talking a few years back, they announced that they were making a Wolverine video game. And the trailer that they released was very short, but it was that scene right there where basically you don't even see that it's fully Wolverine. He's sitting at a bar. He's nursing a beer. The guy's like, you know, I'm cutting you off. And then the claws stick out as some people try to cause shit with him. And you're like, oh, it's going to be a Wolverine game. And this was like very close to that. So I thought that was very interesting.
Yes. And we find out this is the worst Wolverine because he abandoned his X-Men counterparts.
I was disappointed that we never got to see any footage of that. Like, you know, Deadpool kind of made a joke. He's like, you know, are you finally ready to talk about that? Or is it going to be like a third act flashback? And we got the flashback of him talking about it. You could hear like screams and hollers and stuff, but we never got to see any footage of that. And that kind of disappointed me.
Like, it was slightly disappointing because we didn't get to see, because this Wolverine is wearing the yellow costume and they talk about that ad nauseum. Like,
because Scott kept trying to get him to wear it.
Yes.
And he never would because he didn't want to be part of the team. So he went out one night to a bar to get drunk.
Like he always did. Yep. He didn't want them to think he told them to look ridiculous because he didn't want them to know that he wanted to be a part of them.
Right. But while he was out, he said that the humans came and wiped them all out, which seemed odd.
Yeah, but that almost happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
But again, this isn't all. And then we find out more so when he came back, the humans came, wiped them all out. But no, some of them were still alive and he ended their suffering. And then he went and killed many, many humans.
Not just the ones that attacked, but as he said, he wanted to keep killing and he enjoyed the killing.
He went berserker over Wolverine, basically.
Yep.
And he, of course, has this conversation with X-23 later on when she comes in. That's the catalyst to get him to talk, even though he didn't know this one, but she knew how to talk to him. So we get this Wolverine. Deadpool just goes back and he's like, yep, this is it. This is the Wolverine. Paradox instead prunes them both into the void.
Mm-hmm.
We get a whole void scene. What did you think of Johnny Storm?
This is when it turned for me because I was like, oh. Here we go. We're going to start with Cap. How did Cap end up here? What was this part of his time traveling thing when he was returning the stones? Like he ended up in the void. Huh? Interesting. And then when he goes flame on, I went, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But also these are like, they've talked about, we've had multiple this, multiple that, Daredevils, blah, blah, blah. We've never had a Wolverine in the void before. Yeah. So these are not just Earth 1005
right.
or 616. It's multiverse of superheroes that were put in the void.
Yeah. A lot of them do come back to the Fox stuff, though. You know,
well, but it's all Fox related, or in one case, New Line Cinema related. Yeah.
Yes.
But we got Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. He tries to flame on, but it doesn't work out for him.
Well, because Pyro's there and Pyro can control fire. So he absorbs all the fire and Johnny Storm crashes.
And then we meet Cassandra Nova, Charles.
Oh, don't forget, sister. We have Sabretooth fight.
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah. Sabretooth shows up with all of them.
Yeah. And he's like, people have been waiting years for this. And he's like giving him all these pointers. And he's like, get in there and fight.
It was Tyler Mayne Sabretooth as well.
Yep.
Which is important because this Sabretooth was from the X-Men films, but not the Wolverine origin Sabretooth. That was Liev Schreiber.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised we didn't get Liev Schreiber in there.
Yeah. Well, but he very quickly beheads Sabretooth. It's very anticlimactic.
It's basically the classic samurai / ninja thing where the two opponents charge at each other. They pass each other. You hear a chink and Sabretooth's head falls off.
Yeah.
Because Sabretooth was badass and had a regenerating skill just like Wolverine's, but he didn't have the adamantium, and he was pissed about that. He was always pissed about that because Wolverine ruined his chance to get that. Like, he was supposed to be the next one up, and Wolverine destroyed the whole place, killed Stryker, and he's like, God damn it, I was supposed to get adamantium too.
So we get to the giant Ant-Man corpse. Mm-hmm. That's in the void.
I love the line. Paul Rudd finally aged.
Yeah. Where Cassandra Nova and the rest of her people are residing. Basically, she is the dictator ruler. She has all the powers in the world. She was pruned there as an infant, but she made a deal with TVA to stay willingly in the void.
Mm-hmm.
Because she likes, just as long as they keep feeding her people to kill and do what she wants with, and then she has her deal with Eliath, which I thought it was hilarious when they bring up Eliath and Deadpool is like, oh, from Loki season one, episode 5 or whatever it was.
Yep.
Like,
I forgot we had Toad in there as well from the
X-Men. Yes. Well, we had Toad in there. We had Nightwing. Well, yep. The Red Nightwing. We had Lady Deathstrike was in there.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, who played but Juggernaut
not,
in this?
But not Vinnie Jones. This was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But he had the same outfit with that same stupid helmet, which would come into play later on.
Yes. Yep. We keep finding out that, like, I don't know if Charles was ever. Yeah, Charles was sent there and killed by Cassandra. Azazel.
That was the devil. Yeah.
Yeah. Charles was sent there.
At least one Charles has been
Magneto. Magneto
was there. Yep.
And she melted the helmet down because that's something they're looking for. But yeah, so Cassandra kills Johnny, just kind of snaps her fingers and strips all his flesh off him. And then,
but why?
Because Deadpool says that, well, Johnny said all this mean shit about you.
Uh-huh.
And Johnny's like, I never said any of that. I don't even know what some of those words mean.
Yeah, those words have never come out of my lips.
Which, of course, plays it back to in the mid-credit scene where we see a clip from when they've been captured. And Johnny says all that stuff. Yeah. I like how, like, Logan through the movie's like, you got him fucking killed, you know?
Yeah.
Or yeah, the constant come
clean with his other teammates. Yes.
And we've had multiple fights between Deadpool and Wolverine in the movie. Violent, violent, multiple fights.
The van one was the best.
Yes, it was.
Absolute best.
They both have their healing factor. So even when Wolverine, like, puts his claws through Deadpool's head, he heals and he's fine.
Yep.
Or when in Deadpool shoots up Wolverine, he heals. He's fine.
Yep. God's perfect joke. You can't die.
Yeah. So Johnny gets killed. And then Cassandra and Wade and Logan and Deadpool try to kill Cassandra. They fail. And then Eliath is coming to eat them. And they take, what is that, a sentinel foot or something?
Yeah.
That they blast off away in.
Yep.
They crash. They meet Nicepool. Yeah.
Who is played by Gordon Reynolds. The famous inside joke that is Ryan Reynolds' twin brother.
Yeah. I like, why don't you have a mask on? Have you seen this face?
Yeah. Nicepool and Dogpool. Don't forget Mary Poppins.
That was just gross.
Originally named Britain's Ugliest Dog.
Yep. Yeah.
Then went on to become
Addison Dogpool. Talked about that numerous times. So they get the minivan from Nicepool, which Logan is pissed. I mean, which Deadpool is pissed about because it was a Honda Odyssey. And when he was selling cars, it was like the worst minivan you could buy.
Yep.
So they're heading to the borderlands to find out where the resistance against Cassandra is because they got to get back because Deadpool promised Logan or Wolverine that the TVA could get him back to have him go back to his world and stop what happened to the X-Men team, which is the only reason why Wolverine's helping him. Yeah. And then at one point when they're in the van before they fight, he goes, somethingly wished or something like that.
Oh, I made an educated wish.
Educated wish. Yeah. So they commence to fighting and beating the shit out of each other. And so I love bad. when when they're finally like both of them have collapsed from exhaustion, Wolverine has tied up Deadpool in the seatbelt to trap him.
Every seatbelt
wrapped repeatedly. It was funny.
Yep.
X-23 finds them, we find out later, drives them back to their headquarters where we meet the other resistance members.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Which is awesome. Like, all right, so I assumed X-23 was going to be one of them.
Yep.
But I did not see the three others that we got.
Especially the third one. I'm sorry. I had to lean over and explain that in detail to Julia while it was happening because I was geeking out so badly.
Yeah. So we get Jennifer Garner as Elektra. I'm like, that's awesome. That's really solid.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I was shocked as shit when Wesley Snipes' Blade walked out. I was like, no shit. Because Blade was New Line Cinema.
Yes. And there's a joke that's been going on for 20 years that on Blade Trinity, Ryan Reynolds and Wesley Snipes hated each other, and they've hated each other since then.
Yes.
So everyone was shocked, and Wesley Snipes has gone on to say, no, he called me up and he was like, hey, you want to do this? And, you know, we've had this joke running for 20 years where people think we hate each other. We love each other. We're good friends.
Yeah. And so I thought that was fantastic. And later on, like, he's like, I'm the only Blade there ever will be.
Yeah.
So I guess Blade, the TV series, didn't happen.
Well, and Deadpool kind of like looks at the camera like, you going to tell him? Because.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ashera is definitely going to be the next Blade.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I thought that was funny. And then we get Gambit, Remy LeBeau.
Fucking Channing Tatum. And
I popped so hard that when Channing Tatum came out in full comic book
Gambit outfit. Oh, my God.
Accurate with the cards. He, like, almost comical with the neck thing that he had on, you know, in the headgear, the headband and the neck, the way the costume was and his friggin' accent. And, you know, like, you got to go back. Channing Tatum, I think it was like 2007. He was first attached to play. Okay. 2009. He was first attached to play Gambit, and he's been attached on and off for many, many years after that, until finally it just got put to bed in 2020 or 2019 or something like that. Or
so the first time it was because of G.I. Joe. Like, he couldn't commit. He was supposed to be in X-Men Origins Wolverine as Gambit, but G.I. Joe was a conflict. And so he stuck with G.I. Joe and never went to, which is probably good at this point. So he was never in X-Men Origins Wolverine. So then afterwards, he kept trying and trying for years to make it happen as a solo movie. And they'd say, yep, it's going to happen. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not.
Yeah. We saw so much things involved with it. And that's why I love the fact, like, they pruned us and sent us here because they, to get us out of the way because they knew we would stop them from trying to ruin our worlds and this and that. And I love Gambit's just like, I was born here. Maybe some of us have always, have been trying to do this, trying to do this for years and on and on and on. Like, they played so many nods to trying to play this character. And I love the fact we got to see him in this character. I really genuinely do. I thought it was interesting. So we meet all these characters and we meet X-23. And then we basically get the buildup of, like, how are we going to stop Cassandra? And they talk it over. And ultimately, it's like, okay, they need to get Juggernaut's helmet and put it on her head, and that will stop her from being able to do anything. And then we can kill her or get her to open up a portal and send us back or this or that or whatever. And Logan's just like, you're all going to fucking die. Like, after the big buildup where they're all pumping each other up, he's just like, nah, you're all going to die.
Yep.
I thought it was interesting that they developed this plan. They're going to go to Cassandra. They're going to attack her. Like, but then when they did, they just drove in the front door. Like, weren't they afraid she'd just go like and done with them?
Right.
But
I love, by the way, while they're coming up with all these plans and they're talking about friends that they've lost, how Magneto died and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I love the fact that they said that Daredevil was killed. And Ryan's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Jennifer Garner's like, it's okay, really. Because her Daredevil was Ben Affleck and she doesn't like him anymore.
Their relationship did not work out.
Uh-huh.
No,
really, it's fine.
So I love how they call themselves the group The Others.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fight Cassandra. X-23 basically kind of talks Logan into being there. Like, he tells her his story, and he's like, I'm not the guy. And she was like, yeah, well, Logan also thought he wasn't the guy, but he was always there where he needed him. So, of course, he shows up later when they show up in the minivan.
He rolls out of the trunk part of it.
Yeah, rolls out of the hatch in the bag, which is hilarious. And then they commence to fighting. Mm-hmm. Oh, also in here, we find out that Pyro is talking to Paradox, and he wants Paradox to kill Cassandra, and on and on and on, because they, you know, might lose control of her, and
he's tired of being under her thumb.
Yes, exactly. So we commence to fighting. They get Juggernaut's helmet. They get it on Cassandra. Pyro shoots her up.
We saw some awesome fight scenes in here, too.
They knock him out. But yeah, Gambit, the fight scenes were crazy good.
Gambit was great.
Oh, they, like, so we've seen Elektra and Blade in their own movies before. So we got to see them do some fighting. But we got an extended Gambit fight scene where, if this was a professional wrestling match, we call he got his shit in, because he did all his, like,
he did the card fan. He did, yes, you know, one to you, one to you, one to you, one to you, and then, like, snapping his fingers and they all exploded.
Yes.
We even saw, like, it was a pan out shot, but we saw him with his quarter staff all charged up.
Yep. It was badass. Like, yeah, the fight scene was awesome. Man, when they freaking cut off Juggernaut's feet. Oh,
yeah.
And they did not hesitate to kill bad guys.
Nope.
I do like the fact that Elektra, Blade, and Gambit were not killed. They got beat up. They got injured. But at the end,
it looked like they were all going to get killed.
Well, I assumed they were all going to get killed, because that's what basically, they're like, yeah, we're just going to stop them. And my assumption was they're going to kill all four of them, even X-23, and Wade or Deadpool and Logan or Wolverine were going to get back to Earth 1005 so they could, you know, stop everybody. But no, like, they jump through the portal, and which we'll get there, and they're all still alive down there. And the assumption is they remained alive.
Yep. Yeah, because Eliath was really only coming for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
He wasn't, like, trying to eat everybody.
Right. Because, again, we thought, yeah, he didn't. He went up top and tried to get Deadpool and Wolverine. Absolutely. But it's Logan that stopped, because Cassandra's got the helmet on. Pyro shot her up. He's going to do his whole story of that felt so good. You know, long I've wanted to do that, but they knock him out instead, which is awesome.
Yep.
Not everyone gets a speech, bub.
I love that line.
Yeah. But Logan's the one that, no, we're going to take her helmet off. We're going to allow her to heal. And she's going to open the portal and send us back in, because this is what Charles would have done. Charles would have loved you and this and that. And much Deadpool did not want to let her go, but he did. And she, I thought it was hilarious. Street magician stopped by here a while ago, and he had this little device.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of the Doctor Strange or whatever, but it's one of the rings. So she opens the portal and sends them through.
She was referring to that street magician from the She-Hulk series.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe you're right.
Because she said the same thing, which was like second-rate street magician, which is how he was referred to in that.
Yes.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, too. So we're on Earth 1005. And Paradox is trying to fire up the old Time Ripper. And Pyro tells Cassandra what happened, the Paradox's plan. And so now she's like, all right, fuck this. I'm going to Earth 1005.
We haven't talked about how Cassandra gets information out of people. Pyro didn't just tell her. Like, yeah, she says that her brother, Charles Xavier, could touch people's minds with a thought. She has to get more physical. So she, like, sticks her hand into their head. Yeah. And it's not like she punches in their head, like she alters reality. And so her hand is like probing around, coming out their eyeballs, their nose. It's really creepy. And so Pyro, you know, he's like, no, I don't want your hand. Sometimes you could just ask, okay? Here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. And
that was
funny. Yeah. He's like, I'm tired of the fingers in the skull thing. Like, just ask us sometimes. So, yes, continue.
And she basically shows up in Earth 10,005. That's what it is, not 1,005, 10,005, because she's like, yeah, you betrayed me, so I'm going to take that Time Ripper, and I'm going to destroy every universe and just make the Void the Master Universe.
Yep.
That's my new evil plan. And she brings the Deadpool Army,
the Deadpool Corps,
to this Earth to stop them. So now she heads down to the Time Ripper, and
because as we were told, there are a lot of Deadpool variants, and they're all crazy, and they are all very unstable. They love to kill and just stay the hell away from them. So
Nightpool shows up first with Dogpool, and he's just like, oh, hey. Yeah, so like the rest of the Deadpool Corps are coming, and I need to get out of here, and da-da-da-da-da. And they show up, and it's just Wolverine and Deadpool, and now Nightpool, and Deadpool uses Nightpool as a shield to run away, and Logan calls him out on it. And my favorite thing is like when all of a sudden, like, Nightpool just like goes, I've been hit, and blood just gushes out of his mouth. He's like, well, your regeneration factor will kick in. You'll be fine. What regeneration factor? What do you mean you don't have it? Like, he's the only one that doesn't. All the other Deadpools did, but he's the only one that didn't. So I loved how he used his body again to run over to, like, the hot dog cart because they have first aid kits. And he's like, you're going to say you're going to make it. I'm going to make it. So his head explodes. And then I love how friggin' Wolverine just walks across with the dog and they won't shoot the dog.
That's right. I loved it when they had the fourth wall break, when he made a comment to Nightpool about Van Wilder. And he's like, oh, I can do a fourth wall break, too. And he just looks at the camera and goes, the proposal.
Yeah.
He's like, that's not how this works. We don't do it that way.
So they commence to fighting. So I love it because Wolverine and Deadpool are now going to fight the Deadpool Corps. And Wolverine pulls his fucking mask on. With his ears and everything. So now we're full yellow costume, except no sleeves, because he started out with sleeves in the movie. Now he doesn't have sleeves. So it really is the sleeveless yellow costume, yellow and blue, you know, Wolverine with the mask. And he's just like, well, you're just fucking waiting to bring that out. And of course, he's like, get all kinds of climaxing jokes.
He's like, oh, my God, it looks so intimidating. It's like Batman, except for you can move your neck.
Yeah. So apparently Lady Deadpool was Blake Lively.
Yes.
I don't know if it was just her voice or she was actually in the costume. She was think she was in the costume. Perfect. Yep. But we have all the different Deadpool variants.
Deadpool was Nathan Fillion.
What now? The head?
Deadpool, the floating head. That was Nathan Fillion. Cowboy Pool was Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, cool.
Kid Pool was their 9-year-old daughter, nice. I believe. Nine-year-old James, the eldest child, was the screaming mutant. 7-year-old Inez was Kid Pool, and their 1-year-old Olin was Baby Pool.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun. But we get all the Deadpool variants. We get big fight. There's blood everywhere. People getting killed. Violence through a bus where just blood is exploding all over the windows.
All to the tune of?
I don't remember.
Like a Prayer.
Oh, Like a Prayer, yes.
Which Ryan Reynolds went to visit Madonna in person to ask for her permission to use this song, and she granted it to him.
It's so well done. Like, there's so much of Ryan Reynolds in all of these Deadpool movies. It's fucking amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
And then they get done, and they're all dead, and Baby Pool's just laughing, and then they all regenerate, and it's like, oh, we can't keep doing this. We got to stop the Time Ripper. And then Peter Pool shows up. Every Deadpool has a Peter, and like, oh, these Deadpools are great. They're with me. And they're all just like, oh, Peter! And they're all happy. Like, that is perfect.
Uh-huh.
That's how they get past the Deadpool Corps, is like Peter shows up and distracts them all.
Yeah, he has the little crown on his head and everything.
Yeah. So they got to go down. So Cassandra's integrated herself with the Time Ripper, but they have to go underneath the Time Ripper and like conjoin the.
They have to short circuit it by taking the matter and antimatter and
yes, the matter together. And antimatter. I was thinking protons and neutrons, but that wasn't right. So it seemed pretty obvious, like they're going to have to do it together because they both were going to do it alone.
Yep.
Because whoever does it, it'll kill them. Well, not if they do it together, apparently.
And this was obvious. A great time to, show off, because Hugh Jackman through the whole movie, like that suit looked kind of bulky on him. It looked like he was the overweight kind of pudgy Wolverine. And then when the matter and antimatter and they merge, his suit rips off and he is fucking ripped.
Just the shirt, the pants and mask are still there.
Yep.
Because that's what's hilarious, because afterwards he's walking around with just the mask on and the pants.
And the boots. Because the mask is the money shot. I mean, come on.
Because they made a comment earlier about like, he's older now. He used to, you don't recognize him because he always had his shirt off, but he's older now. So, can't do that.
Yeah.
Like they made a point of making a joke about, his physique's not like what it was. We got to cover it up.
They said he lost everything in the divorce, which. Yes. Jackman did just get divorced. So,
yes. So they just handle it. So and I just love the fact that it's like, Fox killed them, but now Disney owns them and he'll be playing this until he's 90. Like, I loved how they kept Fox killed you, but now Disney owns your ass. So you'll be doing this forever.
Yep.
And they absolutely do end it with a sequel on, they're together and we're going to see Wolverine in more movies.
Yes.
So that's pretty friggin' awesome. I love that B-15 shows up. Paradox lies blatantly about, so when they join together to disrupt the flow of the matter and antimatter with their bodies as the conductors, the Time Ripper's destroyed and Cassandra's killed.
Allegedly. She looks like she's unmade, but.
Yes. Paradox, the B-15 shows up.
B-52.
I know, but B-15 shows up because she's the head of the TVA, as we know from watching Loki. Mm-hmm. Paradox lies blatantly about what was going on until Deadpool and Wolverine show up and like, that's not what happened. And I love how instantly they're going to send Deadpool back to his own time or send them back to the void. And then Peter pulls like, no, they're with me. And they're like, and B-15 apparently loves her some Peter.
Yeah. She's like, that suit looks so good on you.
Yeah.
Oh,
so they get to stick around and, Deadpool does say, hey, can we rewrite Logan's timeline? And B-15 is like, no, you're the new anchor point. This Wolverine is the new anchor point of this universe.
She said everything that happened to him made him the man that was able to do this with you today.
Yeah. So we can't go undo that. And then they just seem to accept it.
Hmm.
Deadpool brings Wolverine to go meet all his friends. Oh God, his blind roommate, Blind Al or whatever, when she's like, I wish the fuck I couldn't hear. And she's standing outside to all the Deadpool core getting destroyed and mutilated and cut apart, blood splattering everywhere. So we're back at where we started almost. We're at Deadpool's house with all his friends. And Logan's like, give me the dog. Go talk to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely friggin' loved it.
I loved it quite a bit. I don't think that it was perfect. I think there was a lot of stuff that I would have liked to have seen. I definitely think they could have had a few more cameos in there, especially if they were going with the rejects. I really was expecting more. I was expecting more cameos. I was expecting more nods. Apparently the original scrapped idea for the story was completely different and it had to do with like time traveling and going into different realities and way more depth to it. They went with this instead, but it would have had like Magneto and it would have had Xavier. Like we didn't get any of that stuff and it's kind of sad. I love that Gambit finally got to shine. And again, it wasn't just like he walks on screen and then gets killed or something. He had a full role.
Yes.
Like, this, good for fucking Channing. Like, I felt so happy for him. And it was a good looking Gambit. Like, he was a big, strong. I did love the constant jokes about his accent. He's like, who's your dialect coach? I feel like we're missing a lot of exposition here, like really important stuff. I thought it was odd that Logan, okay, so in the movie, Logan died in Deadpool's reality.
Yeah.
But X-23 alone found herself in the void as a reject. That was kind of odd.
Well, again, they said that they came and pruned people that
were basically stop them.
But the point was they were pruned because the TVA didn't want them around to stop them from what they were trying to do.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this is what I think is kind of interesting as well, reading some of these. So we got Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we got I'm going to murder names. We got Wunmi Mosaka as Hunter B-15. We got characters in the Void working for the Nova include Harold Stanford to play Pyrol. We got Tyler Mane as Victor Creed / Sabretooth from X-Men. Because he played Pyro in X2 and X-Men The Last Stand. We got the guy that played Pyro. We got Jason Fleming as Azazel from X-Men First Class. Aaron Reed played Juggernaut, resembling the appearance that Vinnie Jones played, but it wasn't him, like you said. Yeah. Mike Waters played the Blob.
Yeah, that's right. We did see him
from X-Men Last Stand. We got Bill Clements as the Russian, generic as the Russian. And then we had some other actors that were there, but they weren't, I don't think they're the same actors, but Toad, Lady Deathstrike, Bullseye.
Kelly Hugh was
Psylocke.
Yeah, Kelly Hugh was Deathstrike, just not credited as her.
Yes, yeah.
Rob McElhenney, I can never pronounce his last name, you know, the guy that owns the soccer team with Ryan Reynolds, he played a TVA agent.
Yeah, there was a lot of Wrexham AFC people that had cameos.
Yep.
Ryan Reynolds' stunt double played Canada Pool. Tom Holland's brother, Harry, played Harold Pool.
It's very interesting. In the credits, they have Spider-Man, and they list it as Andrew Garfield. And when he's in Happy Hogan's office and he's panning around, there's the Iron Man mask that the young Peter Parker wore in that flashback in Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
And it's positioned perfectly in front of the picture of Tony Stark and Tom Holland Spider-Man, but it's covering up Tom Holland Spider-Man because the world doesn't remember who
Peter Parker is. Yeah, that's true.
So it says Spider-Man is Andrew Garfield, which is interesting because he wasn't even in there at all. But
that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
There was another one of these ongoing jokes. Apparently, Kevin Feige said at one point, he says it was just a throwaway comment where they were asking him if anything was off limits. And he was like, well, the cocaine jokes are kind of old and stale, the ones that they kept making in the other movies. But he didn't have anything against it. But apparently Ryan Reynolds heard that and was like, okay, no cocaine jokes. And instead made more cocaine jokes that were even funnier and even better, where they were basically talking about how bad she wanted to do it. And they were coming up with all the different names. And he's like, no, it's the one thing Feige said is off the table, which he didn't actually say that, but.
Right. But still, I love how they broke. And then in the closing, in the credits, we get a video montage of like behind the scenes and footage from all the Fox, the 20th Century Fox Marvel movies.
Yep.
I thought that was fantastic.
That was fantastic.
And it really shows you just how young Hugh Jackman looked as Wolverine when he first started playing Wolverine. Like, wow, he really was really, that was okay. That was a long ass time ago.
Like, are you telling me that James Marsden wasn't available? Anna Paquin was unavailable? Like, they absolutely, Famke Janssen was just in Boy Kills World, so you know she could have come back as Jean Grey.
I know what you're saying, but again, I like how they handled it because maybe it's because we've seen, you know, Beast. Kelsey Grammer as Beast in. So what we have, like, Wolverine, Kelsey Grammer as Beast. who else do we have that they brought from the Fox world into the MCU? Deadpool.
Permanently?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Well, it's only 5 or 6. Or I think Wolverine's the 5th character now.
Colossus, if you count him, because he was at the table. Colossus and Negasonic.
Yeah, but they were in Deadpool, so it seems like that's... You know what I mean?
Yeah, but now they're still part of the MCU because they survived this whole rip.
Here we go. Marvel series has now confirmed 9 actors from 20th Century Fox's X-Men universe in the MCU, with each one reprising their roles ahead of the official introduction of the MCU's mutant team. Let's see here. Evan Peters returned in WandaVision.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that he was actually playing Quicksilver, if that was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Was what it was. Patrick Stewart played Dr. X, Professor X, and Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Kelsey Grammer as Beast, Hank McCoy. Let's see. Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, obviously.
Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
They are saying Stefik Kapakik as Colossus.
Good.
Because he played Colossus in 2 X-Men movies and the Deadpool movie.
Good.
Brianna Hildebrand as Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Because again, 2 X-Men movies and the one upcoming. Yep. Yukio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Aaron Stanford.
As Pyro?
Because he was Pyro, yeah.
Hmm.
But I mean, he's dead now, but still. So, all right.
Okay.
Who appeared with Beast at the end of?
That was Captain Marvel of that universe, but it was Monica Rambeau.
Yes, Monica Rambeau. Right. Okay.
Which we also saw her on the council as Captain Marvel in Multiverse of Madness.
Well, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Anything? Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I'm sure that there's plenty more. We probably missed a few things.
And I'm sure we'll see some stuff come out in the next few weeks or a couple weeks. We can always talk about that as it comes out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our very long episode.
Very long, but, a couple of weeks away, so.
Yeah. Later.
All right. Talk to you next week.